My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Jason and John on Eternal FM ESPN as we continue to celebrate and reflect on the brand new slogan this season for Memphis football. We've had many over the years. We've had Join the Revolution. Tiger football was starving. They were in a famine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were malnourished. We didn't know what it was like to win at a big level. And depending on who you ask, you say that we were fed by Larry. He was handing out those turkeys on Thanksgiving. I contend that we continued to starve. Some of us did not make it. Like the Oregon Trail, we died of dysentery.
Mm-hmm. Fuente didn't just pull a Dion now. He worked with a lot of what was there.
No, you're right. Dion is not successful. So, you're right in that sense that Fuente.
Well, we started out good and we hit the over, didn't we?
I think you hit the over of 2.5.
Hit it early.
We'll see if you can do it for a second straight year.
Yep.
All right, out there in Boulder.
Let's go, Shador.
But we had Join the Revolution, and then in the second or third year of Fuente, we had Wait Till This Year.
Mm.
You remember that one? Remember that one, Brad?
I do now.
Wait Till This Year, and then remember we had the.
I think we liked that one. I think we probably dinged it back in the day, or y'all did.
I think we dinged it.
Remember Wait Till This Year. I do remember that. What year was that?
That was 14. It was 14.
That was a Fuente?
Yep, that was Fuente.
Yeah, right. Y'all did that before I came up in here.
Remember we used to have
Jeff.
Do you remember those Memphis football commercials, man? Where the guy was at the water cooler and he got the tattoo on his back of the schedule or something?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Like, that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Any promotion, any marketing Memphis football gets, it is burned in our brains because there is so little.
The Porter one will live in infamy. I mean, him saying join the revolution.
I think we clowned on that immediately.
We did.
Wow.
Yeah, because
the result was clowned on
it. Yeah, because you could just tell he was like not buying it.
The result was abysmal.
Because the way he said it.
Join the revolution.
It got clowned on immediately.
We'll say the man had the gall to come in. He hosted a radio show on this particular station in that seat that Jason is sitting in.
And that's the most talking he's ever done in his entire life.
It is.
It
was good.
Was it good?
He's a good. I will say, he doesn't deserve probably the level. Well, maybe he deserves it, but he's a good man. I always liked Larry.
This is nothing personal.
Well,
he just wasn't good as a head coach.
Didn't he get good players though? Because Fuente came in right after him, and some of those dudes like played significant roles.
No, Jason has this in terms of history.
That is the history.
Larry Porter,
you're absolutely right.
Mark Jackson. Justin Fuente, Steve Kerr.
That is not what I said. I'm just saying.
That's how Jason's got it.
Let's give him something.
No, that's pretty good. That is how I look at it.
But
Larry was the Mark Jackson.
Right. Yeah, but
except not.
Because there was no Steph that got handed to Justin. There was no Steph and Clay and Draymond that got. I mean, they were decent, but it was not that.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all love to rewrite history.
Would you hire Justin back if Ryan gets another job after this great season we're about to have?
I would see no reason not to.
I mean, New York second, I'd do it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if the Memphis job was ever open for one reason or another, there's no reason not to hire.
If he was ever interested in North Texas, that means he's interested in your level again.
Yeah.
So why would you not try to get him back?
I think so highly of Justin.
I do too.
I would hire him for any job.
And it's a better job just to sort of explore this than it was when Justin Fuente left it because of the resources you have now.
That's true.
And what you're able to do from an NIL standpoint.
So. But I do wonder a little bit how much Justin wants to play that game, too. Like, he has not been in this college football world.
Play that game if you want to, and then don't meet expectations like Dabo's doing. Okay? And I think Dabo's going to have a bounce back year. Here's the point. He needs it. Because he's getting killed for this sort of old school antiquated, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going in the portal. What do you mean? You're not going to play the game that everybody's playing? And so the moment they drop off, they'll be ready to move on because, unlike the great ones before him, Saban and some others that we've seen that have been willing to change because they understand that college football is changing. And if I'm going to stay at the top of it, I've got to do this now. They have not done it. And I would tell you it's out of ego, you know, for him. And so if Justin Fuente is going to be of that sort of ilk,
mm-hmm.
you don't want Justin Fuente back.
Right.
In that way, if he's not going to change and sort of. But, dude, I'd have to believe on the outside looking in and everything that was happening while he was still in it. Justin Fuente knows and is perfectly ready to play the NIL game. And why would you not be in a league where you're going to have the most?
Right.
This is not a deal where he's going to have to go out and ask. You're in a league where you're going to. SMU is gone. You have the most when it comes to NIL. So. It's a different gig. If he don't want to play that game, well, then we move on to our next candidate.
Right, which, again...
He wouldn't have been interested in North Texas if he's not sort of... Because you're not going to win at North Texas not paying NIL and trying to do it. I'll find 2 stars and turn them into 4 and 5s. That stuff don't fly anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a different... Yeah.
But I'd call him first.
Yeah.
To your point on that.
Yeah.
But, again, that's... We're talking about something that's so...
Well, Silverfield got
remote.
Silverfield got it. I guess what we were saying, was it Indiana that one story said that was interested?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't really go anywhere, though.
He was on a list, and we had wondered how much of that was agent work and everything else. Remember, at the time, he was still, I believe, in contract extension talks.
Yeah. Correct.
And so, of course, you want your client's name out there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's something
that's... I don't know how serious any of that
you was. You got to remember that. You got
to
remember.
But now, I mean, he messed around going to the college football playoff. He might be attractive to someone. I'm just, again, the power structure? Is the power structure going to say, Ryan Silverfield's the guy we want? Oh, they might.
We kind of want him to be in that position if the season's going to go the way we think it's supposed to go.
I don't know.
You want your coach to be wanted.
Yes, you're right. That you're in a better position because it means you got a good product.
Yeah.
But if he does that, I'm still fine with him being the coach to...
Oh, sure.
Who's my guy? My 4-star quarterback. What's my guy?
The million-dollar NIL guy, Antoine. Yeah,
I mean that's who got him with Silverfield. And so you make a college football playoff. Yeah, I mean you're at a point where I want to retain you. But you're right, Brad. If he's getting pulled, you want that. It means you got a good product.
Yeah, you're doing things right.
If people want you,
there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. So listen, it's a good problem to have, and you have. There are a lot of reasons for if this year is so successful that Ryan Silverfield becomes a candidate for another job and took it, you have more reasons than not for the next person to come in and do it. Okay, like you got, but that would obviously there's steps to that, and the first step is making sure that you take advantage and maximize your time of pouncing, you know, and that starts on August 31st against North Alabama. Now, what kind of pouncing will that be? Will that be a big pounce or a little pounce?
For the team's sake and for the just momentum and the energy you hope to capitalize on this preseason, you'd like for it to be a big one.
All right, let's do this. Let's go through the list, and I'm going to ask you big pounce or little pounce. All right.
This is another way of going through the record here.
I mean,
You know, we're expecting a 1-2 loss season.
So
and only, an AAC title game appearance.
Only 2 times would you say that the pounce is not successful?
Right.
And that would be Florida State?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm expecting them to run the table in the AAC. If the ESPN computer is spitting out that UTSA should do it, I say you should do it. You should win that road game at UTSA. You should beat Tulane. You should beat USF. Because you have more, you bring back more. And so I'm hoping for that would be an 11-1 season. I'm leaving room for a 2-loss season. I still think, and again, it feels It feels a little weird. It feels a little to hold them to this standard. But ladies and gentlemen, that is where we are. That is where we are in terms of that program, the investment level. It's where we are. First time ever picked to win the AAC. And so what needs to, if a computer can say UTSA without our boy Frank
yeah.
is going to go undefeated in this league.
Yep.
That means I expect Memphis to be the one that does that.
Right.
And that really comes down yep. that really comes down to beating UTSA there. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
And like we boiled it down to earlier, your defense being better than bottom of the barrel like it was last year.
Right.
These are the things that this season, this college football playoff hope, these are the things that it's going to come down to. Because, again, this league is so bad
yep.
that a computer says UTSA with a new quarterback is going to come in here and run the league,
mm-hmm.
go undefeated, and go to the college football playoff. I say no. I say that should be Memphis. So I say 11-1
mm-hmm.
is what you should be. And that will put you, I feel like, squarely in the conversation.
Yep.
Because Boise State will have had to go on 11-1. They got to play Oregon. There's their one. And that's assuming they're going to have run the table in the Mountain West. And then you got Liberty, who I don't think, again, after the embarrassment that was their bowl game last year and getting picked up, I don't think the committee that picks these, I don't think they're going to buy it. I don't think they're going to buy an undefeated Liberty team that's played no one when you're looking at Memphis that played a Florida State and Boise State that played an Oregon, and you want to reward them for that. Otherwise, you're going to continue to have these Group of Five teams play trash and then bring you the trash at the end of the season and say, take us. That's not what you sort of want to encourage from that spot. You want the best, and you want some teams that have played somebody. So that's going to include, that's going to be Boise State, and it's going to be Memphis, going to be UTSA.
Yes.
UTSA's got Texas
yes.
as their big one.
That's right. So just using Sagarin ratings, we did this last week, but it's a good reminder. UTSA was better than they were, was better last year than they'll be this year. There's no, because you're replacing a sixth-year quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be better. You'd be fortunate to stay the same. But if we're going to, Memphis will be better because their defense will be better and their offense will be one of the top 10 in the country. So I still think we could adjust this up even further. But both teams last year at UTSA, this basically would have been UTSA minus one using Sagarin ratings. This is last year. So I think this year Memphis will be favored. Memphis will be favored by 2.5, two and a half, in my view. They should be. Now, Memphis could have a horrendous start to the year, and they could underwhelm and all. When's that game against UTSA? Is it later in the season?
You're catching me off guard. That one is November 2nd.
Yeah, so if they got off to a dreadful start, could those ratings come down? Yes, but I just think Memphis will be the favorite. So that's why I don't understand the computer part of this, because Memphis will literally be favored. I mean, if we're using ratings from a year ago and we expect Memphis to be better and UTSA to be worse, I don't really get it.
Again, I don't understand how you could, and I guess I understand it, but you seem a little confident about Memphis being favored there when UTSA got first place votes, no, not as many as Memphis, and was picked second in the league.
Yeah.
Like, it's not far-fetched to think that they would be the favorite in that game.
Well, I'm just using ratings. I'm just using...
Yeah, no, it doesn't add up to me.
Well, Memphis was rated higher last year. And then you subtract 73 from 71, then you impute home field advantage.
Yeah.
And so that's how you would have gotten to minus one a year ago.
Right.
UTSA, not better than they were a year ago. Memphis is better than they were a year ago. So the gap would be even higher, I would say.
Yeah, I hear where your math is coming from.
So, I mean,
like we said, we've marked and remembered it. I'm hopeful if Memphis has had a... if you've looked dominant in every game that wasn't Florida State, that you're considered that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's still quite possible. Again, we're not talking about a team that's picked sixth or seventh in your league. It's mm-hmm. picked right behind you at second.
Yeah, I mean, I think at worst it's a pick, right? At worst, it'd be a pick 'em.
Maybe so.
Because, I mean, UTSA is losing quarterback and top receiving option. They bring back the running back, but they lost.
I mean, that's two guys. We're talking about a whole side of the ball that has to be fixed for Memphis.
Yeah.
Like, we like it. We love it on paper. But it was abysmal last year.
Yeah, it was.
And so that's part of what I'm assuming the computers that Dinich went to in the FPI is taking into account. How abysmal Memphis's defense was.
Mm.
You could make a case. They got to replace an entire defense. If we're on the outside looking in, we know it's not that complicated. They had some good performers last year, but that's my point.
Mm.
You're talking about, yes, key players, a quarterback, running back. Memphis has got to replace a whole defense. How computers look at these things, you could say that's more.
Yeah.
More to do. especially with how lowly ranked it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on how you view it, right? Like, I mean, the starter for UTSA has, like, never played, you know? And so you're getting a guy that's, you know, basically his first full season. I mean, he's thrown 58 attempts his entire career. I mean, could he be great? Sure, but he could also stink.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, if he stunk, they're not going to have them pick second in the league this year.
Well, it's also a bad league.
There's enough there.
Yeah.
They picked him over Tulane, dude.
Well, that's probably a mistake.
And again, you arguably have the best coach in the league. It's probably not even an argument in Traylor. And so I just don't think it's far-fetched to believe that UTSA, again, would be a slight favorite. Maybe it will be a pick 'em, but if Memphis is the favorite in that game, it's gone well. Everybody's happy.
No doubt about
period.
That. Yeah, there's
we're all happy going into it.
Absolutely right. I mean, yeah, all these teams were very close last year, though. Like, we're using ratings here. Memphis was a 73. UTSA was a 71.5. Tulane was a 70. I'm not an idiot. I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm not just, like, pulling these numbers out of my ass. I mean, I don't think it's, like, ridiculous to think that Memphis would be rated higher.
No, I'm saying you sounded a little too confident that they will be. That's all I'm saying.
Well, like, even if it's a point, right?
We got your computers, we got the computers, the FPI that ESPN's using. All of it's close.
Right.
It's first and second. It's going to be close. That's the bottom line here. Nobody's saying you're an idiot, and nobody's saying the ESPN computers were wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to be close here. I think it's closer than most probably... Then we're thinking it could be here.
Yeah, well,
that is the only point I was presenting to you.
I would say at most
UTSA may be a little better. Maybe they got something they feel good about in this kid that hadn't thrown. Sure, doesn't have a lot of experience, but they feel good about.
Yeah, I guess I would just be. I guess that's my opinion. Is I'm just a little lower on it on UTSA than the computers are.
The computers are low on Memphis's defense, and they still are.
Right.
With even the acquisitions, the SP Plus has them going into the year in the hundreds.
Right.
And so that's what taking into account.
And that's
you and I love it, and we say it should be easy to get to average, but they haven't. They got a lot to prove, as Chandler Martin said.
There's no
doubt.
They
were dog water last year.
And it's hard to feel super great about
that. Right.
I mean, I think it'll be slightly
you and
better.
I mean, on paper, we look at it, we say we like it. It looks better. It has to be better. It was trash last year.
Right.
But the computers are saying you got to prove it because they've still got them in the hundreds and the SP Plus rankings going into the season.
It could be just as bad.
Now, I'm sure UTSA's can't be that low. And that's, again, what you're taking into account. If you're taking both numbers into account,
right.
You know, there's a probably, you know, pretty decent, I'm imagining. It's not as extreme. When you go from offense to defense is what I'm guessing.
Right. 114.
But I ain't pushing back on what you think here. I'm with you. Memphis could end up being a favorite or a pick 'em either way.
I mean, the defense.
And I would not be shocked.
Well, the defense could not be
that much
better.
But that could prevent it from happening, too.
Right. I mean, if you go from 114 to 102, it's still an improvement.
That ain't going to get us there,
bro. But it's not enough, yeah.
Again, a trailer's going to be, you know, salivating at the mouth to get a run at that defense.
Yeah. No, look, it'll be interesting.
So I think that's where it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's in that.
Exactly.
And sort of how it's expected to perform. Right now, ESPN's still low on it. We think it's going to be better.
Well, and again, we'll have, seven, eight games of data, right? We'll have plenty of data going into that one. So
certainly more than the one bowl game.
Yes.
You know, and then certainly a lot has transpired since that bowl game in terms of additions. I like Elijah Herring. I think he's going to come in here and be a stud. Memphis got a great linebacking core. That is on paper.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. November 2nd, you know, we got a good build up for the Tiger football team. We'll come back. Paul Feinbaum going to join us. We'll ask him about it, get his thoughts on the new format in college football. Florida State, is this a year Clemson finally gets back to some relevance? Obviously, new look for Alabama. Tennessee comes in at 15 in the coaches poll. Lots to get to with Paul Feinbaum. We'll do that next. Stick around. Jason.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Say what you want, but don't play games.
Paul Feinbaum is the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, longtime college football broadcaster at ESPN. Going to be doing it for a little bit longer. Saw that news come over the desk this month. He joins us now. Paul, it feels like every time we have you on, something drastic and dramatic has changed about college football. I don't know if that means we're not having you on enough or that college football is just rapidly changing every single week.
We are in that time, guys, where it does change, and it is one of the most tumultuous times we've ever had. But having said all that, the season's around the corner, and I don't think the fans really care about all the other nonsense.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because they won't. And the format itself, this new format, I feel like will enhance, you know, a lot of the experience. Do you share that view that the 12-team format will make the regular season more compelling?
Yes, and I was in Memphis this spring, and I was getting legitimate questions. Hey, do you think Ole Miss is a playoff team? Do you think Memphis is a playoff team? And the answer to both questions was yes, absolutely, where years ago, or how about a year ago, the answer would have been no. Probably not going to happen in Ole Miss's case, and will definitely not happen in Memphis's case. So it brings so many – I hate to sound like I'm a politician talking about inclusion – but that's really what this is. Suddenly, everybody has a shot,
and it needs. It feels like, Paul, that it's seriously important for Ryan Silverfield, and he's lined it up right. And you've got to give him credit for this. But to sort of maximize this opportunity, and sure, some of it's out of your control. What Boise State does, you know, what a UTS, I mean, well, excuse me, what a Liberty does, and whether, you know, that'll be picked is out of your control. But it feels like it is the year, and this first year that they've been picked to win the AAC, to do it with Seth Hennigan back, with what they've got on offense. Do you feel that way, that not winning the AAC would be a disappointment?
It would. And listen, you don't get that many opportunities. And I mean, I still remember Memphis being up by 8. What was it, in the 08 national championship game in basketball? Suddenly, that lead evaporated. Calipari left town. And it's been a struggle ever since. And I think in football, you just don't know when this moment will come, as long as Memphis is in the division it's in, so to speak. So that's another subject about they shouldn't be, and maybe they should be in the Big 12 or somewhere else, but they're not right now, so they have to take advantage of it. And I think it's a really good opportunity to. It's just a matter of managing the season and getting to the finish line.
Obviously, we saw our first coaches poll come out this week. Texas, as a newcomer there at 4, how do you believe they will fit in quality standpoint and politically with the SEC?
Yeah, from on the field, I feel very good about it. I was with Steve Sarkisian 3 weeks ago in Dallas, and he was boasting with confidence about his team and especially his depth. We all know about the quarterback situation. We all know what he lost, too, but so did everyone else. I think the biggest game of the year for them is the second week of the season at Michigan. It's a game most people expect Texas to win, and I do too, but if you lose that game, suddenly you're going to feel the pressure because you have Georgia in the middle of the season. You have a game at A&M at the end, which I think is going to be maybe the most electric atmosphere of the year in the SEC. So your margin for error has become very slim. So, you know, you can lose two games. I don't think you can lose three and make the playoffs anymore.
A couple spots down from Texas, obviously a team we care about around here is Ole Miss. I'm just curious, as expectations obviously around the program and this opportunity have risen for them, how high have you raised them up for Lane and for the Rebels?
I think they're in great shape. I was barely alive the last time Ole Miss was in this position. I was on a set with Nick Saban the other day in Dallas for the SEC media days, and I said, he's 4 years older than me, but I was trying to make him feel good. I said, you and I were both in kindergarten back then. He said, we didn't have a kindergarten. I said, okay, thanks, Coach. The point being, they need to take advantage of it, too, because you don't know when the stars are going to be aligned this well for Ole Miss again.
How is it? I know it hasn't happened, you know, during the season yet, but is sitting there with Nick Saban. I mean, you've worked with a lot of coaches and a lot of football people. How would you assess the job he's doing so far, Paul?
Well, I'll just tell you this. I'm sitting there. We were doing a primetime show for ESPN, and Laura Rutledge asked me, I think, five minutes into the show what I thought about Alabama's team. And I started to answer, and I looked about out of the corner of my eye, and there was a guy who recruited every player on the team. And I finally just said, hey, Coach, what do you think? Because, I mean, I felt like an idiot trying to answer that question. you know, I just kept doing that because that's the thing about – I mean, he is so well prepared. He's so knowledgeable. I mean, those are things that are self-explanatory, but – I think it's just a matter of giving him a lane, and you know, the show we were on was one thing, but when he's on College Game Day with 15,000 people behind you, and you know, a bunch of multimillionaires who think their word carries so much weight, I wonder how he's going to feel. I mean, he'll be patronized the first couple of weeks, but right. What happens after that?
Yeah, and obviously that's the same thing that you know, Alabama fans and college football at large are wondering with you know, their program. They're still picked fifth. I mean, that's low, you know, for them in recent years. But it is a new start, and it will be different. How different do you think it will be, Paul, with Kalen DeBoer?
Well, check back with me after their first loss, okay? Because that's when it's all going to come to reality. I mean, you guys are in that business. I hosted a show in Birmingham for many, many years. And there is nothing quite like an Alabama loss that's unexpected. And I say that because Kalen DeBoer is a nice guy, and we all know his resume, but he's never encountered the wrath of a fan base like he will. They may not expect the national championship the first year, but they certainly expect to go into the playoffs. And he'll feel it. And you know, where is he going to lose a game? Well, he's at Wisconsin the third week of the season. He's got Georgia the fourth or fifth week. He's at Oklahoma later in the year. He's at Tennessee. He's at LSU. I can see a couple of losses, can't you?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep.
You know, it's real easy for us to root for Florida State around here because of Mike Norvell and obviously everything he accomplished here. But also, I mean, they're playing Memphis this year. I mean, Mike Norvell, especially as it relates to Clemson and Dabo, we're going to pick Mike Norvell every time. But I'm curious, Paul, can Dabo's unwillingness to change in a college football world that's obviously, you guys have mentioned, it feels like it's changing by the week, can that work? Or, you know, is this, are we watching a guy who, I mean, even Nick Saban, to use, he changed, you know, when he had to stay on top. Can what Dabo's doing, no, hell no, I'm not doing transfer portal, can this work in today's college football?
It cannot work. And just watch the first week of the season when he plays Georgia, who has the best coach in the country and a coach that has adapted. I don't think it will be close, and quite frankly, I think Dabo will lose a couple of times this year. And, you know, it's great to have principles, but, you know, go do something else. Don't be a college coach, because there's no integrity left in this game. And if you don't, I mean, and it's legal, too. So I'm not going to give the guy a Nobel Prize for being stubborn, but I think he's really stupid to go the route he's going. And I happen to live in the ACC country, and I run into Clemson fans every day who won't say it out loud, but I've heard them say it privately. They're getting fed up.
I'm curious, Paul, just a follow-up to that about Dabo. You would know this better than me, but better than us certainly here, who would have no feel. But was he always this guy, right, who had made the ego and was going to do it his way, or has it been the winning that sort of hardened him and convinced him that this is the way I can do it, and in my way or the highway, and I don't have to change to stay on top? Did he change?
I think he did. I mean, he's always been a little odd. He's always been the walk on with a chip on his shoulder. But you know, you win two national championships.
Yep.
You play for four national championships. It goes to your head, and I think it did. And it's really sad to watch, because he had the second best program in the country a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we're talking to Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, obviously, at ESPN. All right, I'm going to ask you this. Tennessee comes in at 15 in the coaches' poll. Season ends. They going to be higher or lower than 15?
They will be higher. I think Tennessee is literally on the cut line of the playoffs. And it's going to come down to one game. It's probably, to me, the Alabama game. That's a winnable game at Neyland Stadium. I think they'll get by NC State, which is a good team, but not great. You know, they have Oklahoma early in the season, too, which is really going to be a problem for them. But they have a chance, but they can't get there without beating Alabama. I think they're good enough. I think the quarterback is fantastic. It's just a matter of navigating the schedule.
You know, when I was growing up, Florida was the dynasty. Now, that was Urban Meyer. We know that. But they and Spurrier, but they were the dynasty. And for whatever reason, Paul, they just have been wandering around in the wilderness for a long time now. To have the resources that they have, to have the built-in advantages that they have in that state, they have just been wandering in the wilderness. Why can't Florida football seem to get it right?
Well, it's been a collection of mistakes. Really, Urban Meyer put it all into motion when he hung around a year later than he should have, and they made a mistake on Will Muschamp, and guess what? They made a mistake on McElwain and then Mullen. And it's pretty obvious they made a mistake on Billy Napier. Because
it's a lot of bad hires in a row, you know?
Yeah, you can't do that. And by the way, the athletic director who currently there will have made, I think, the last three. And this one better work. And what's so interesting is I hear Florida people say, you know, if we can just get to 7-5, that would have gotten anybody else fired, but it would probably keep Billy Napier his job, because the place is so dysfunctional right now.
How much of a threat, Paul, would an undefeated Liberty team, that you look at their schedule, they will play no one, will it be to a one-loss Memphis team that's lost to a Florida State, or a one-loss Boise State conference champions, but a one-loss Boise State that's lost to Oregon? How much of a threat is an undefeated Liberty in your mind?
In my mind, it shouldn't happen. I mean, if you don't play anybody, you shouldn't get to the playoffs. So, to me, Memphis with one loss would trump them. Probably the same for Boise. They play a better schedule. I mean, everybody plays a better schedule than Liberty this year.
Yep.
Paul, we have NBA players occasionally on the show, and for example, we had Thaddeus Young, a Memphian. He came on the show last week, and he's been in the NBA for, this would be his 18th season if he ends up playing another year. And we always ask these guys, we say, you know, well, how'd you do it? You know, what was the key? You're not an NBA player, as far as I know, but you have been at ESPN for a long time, through a lot of changes, through a lot of, however you want to say it, just a lot of change. How have you done it? How have you sustained yourself at ESPN and the network for as long as you have? And congratulations on your new deal, by the way.
Thank you. I really think it's the exact same thing we talked about with Dabo Swinney a minute ago. You have to be adaptable. Nick Saban hated where college football was, but he changed.
That's right.
And listen, there's plenty about where I work I don't like. And I have the opportunity, if I don't like it, to walk away. I've chosen not to, and I'm really glad. But you have to do that. And that's why the conversation about Dabo stands out. And I appreciate what you said, but what's kept me motivated all these years, too, is something you guys will understand better than anyone. It's the audience. It's not talking to Nick Saban. It's not talking to Kirk Herbstreit. It's talking to people every day who love sports and who are passionate and really look at programs like yours in Memphis and what we do every afternoon as being an important part of their lives.
And now that we've congratulated on the contract, it's probably the perfect time, especially, Paul, in the wake of the Pitbull news. He'll be getting the naming rights right to the stadium at FIU. Now, we have naming rights here with Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, but we were wondering if we could get a commitment from you in the wake of the new contract, maybe the Paul Feinbaum Party Plaza in Simmons Bank, if you wanted to, for a small yearly fee, perhaps, if you wanted to be a part of the momentum. It's time to pounce, Paul. That's the phrase this year the Tigers are using.
Hey guys, I was with Pitbull 3 weeks ago. He played the SEC Welcome to Texas concert. So I feel like we're down together. I also know the Simmons people from being at the Touchdown Club a couple of times. So if they'll spot me alone, I'm in.
Okay, that's a soft verbal.
Soft verbal commitment from Paul there.
That is a soft verbal, and we look forward to making this pitch in person to you at some point. when your private jet comes in, we'll know, and we'll hunt you down. Paul, thanks for
thank
the time.
You for this,
as always,
Paul.
My friend.
It is always a pleasure being on. Best to you guys. See you soon.
Yes, sir. Talk soon. He is Paul Feinbaum, of course, from ESPN, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Here on 90.9 FM ESPN. So great stuff from him. And
absolutely.
Again, I don't know if we quite nailed it down, but door's open.
But maybe Party Plaza isn't his thing. Maybe he wants one of the end zone areas.
Absolutely.
We've got options.
Yeah. I do think we could get we could certainly at least get Glorilla for a halftime show or something. I think she'd show some love.
What I really appreciate about him is he's doing we have Liberty. No.
Correct.
They shouldn't be part of the conversation when you look at their schedule, when you look at what happened last year. They should not be a part of the conversation if you've got a one-loss Boise State or a one-loss Memphis. Or even, a UTSA team that's, one loss with the loss to Texas and has run the table as the computers predict they will in the AAC. All of those teams will deserve it more than Liberty. I'm glad he is on the same page as we are.
That's right.
Heather Dinich is of this belief.
That's right.
Liberty should not be rewarded for undefeated against
baby,
mess
baby
schedule. Baby food, well put.
Isn't it, I know this is my question, but isn't it kind of jarring to think of how far Florida football has fallen? I know they won a division title in 2020, but they ain't been relevant.
I will say, I think they'd have been better off hanging with Mullen than what they've got now.
They might have. Well, there's no doubt now. Billy Napier was a joke. He was a joke of a hire. But, dude, they used to run college football in Gainesville. I mean, they used to have nothing.
Where we lost them? Because I'm back to the pitch. Time to pounce.
Yeah.
You had to fit
it
that
wasn't
in.
Good enough. And it didn't, right? It literally didn't do what we it didn't do for him what we said it wasn't doing. Why did I bring it? We should have just gave him our slogan, Uncaged.
Yep. Welcome to the dark.
I like Uncaged.
I like the dark one.
My God, Uncaged. Uncaged, we need to give to, we had one of our listeners bring that to our, and I like Uncaged.
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 Uncaged. Uncaged is pretty strong.
Just one word. That's all it needs.
Yeah, and it's
his thing was, it's time to uncage. You don't need it.
No,
Uncaged does it. He has the right word. Uncaged does
it. No, tight.
And it is.
Boom.
It's better than
it's out.
On the loose, because that's too long. Uncaged. I do like
on
that.
The prowl.
On the prowl, right. No, I like it. Uncaged, that means we are completely...
And if I had said uncaged, our slogan to Paul instead of time to pounce,
yep.
Maybe we get the commitment instead of him asking
well,
Simmons
Bank. Well, we still have basketball to...
So, like you said, our in-person pitch will have to be better.
What's
will not bring time to pounce to the table.
What's basketball's slogan going to be?
Get your ass back in the tournament.
Join the revolution.
That's a little long.
Getting our ass back in the tournament.
Please come to our games.
Back together.
Get back. That's the slogan for Rivers Basketball.
Get back.
Expeditiously. Mm-hmm. Immediately. Because and then we'll add some fine print. Because if you don't.
Don't do that.
And then we'll just kind of leave it there.
It might be. I could leave.
Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions.
Could be. I could leave is pretty good.
I could leave on y'all. But you just do. I could leave
But we know
for
what
sure.
that means. We're not going to ever be as good as what we got.
That's right. You gotta,
according to the man who holds the job.
You got to appreciate it. You got to appreciate this.
Just don't compare him.
Just love what you have. Because I could leave.
Oh, that's it. Memphis basketball. You can't normalize us.
Oh, I like you can't normalize.
That's his own word.
Don't do that.
That's it. That's his thing. You can't normalize. I'm surprised.
Well, you can't normalize.
You've been normalizing PJ Haggerty all offseason. That's what you've been doing to PJ, normalizing him.
I think he's a normal basketball player, bro. Like
you can't normalize him.
Oh, I think it's possible. Just let him shoot. He'll be normalized pretty quickly.
It's the same damn conference.
Yeah. I mean, again, he shot, 27% from three? I mean, it's tough, dude. Y'all holding him up.
Man, get to the line 27 like SGA.
I hope he's
27
good.
Times a game.
Oh, did you say they're playing UNLV? I did not see that. That was not previously known, right?
Yeah, it was known.
Oh, was it known? I did not.
Brad and I got very excited about
it. I did not
that.
Know that. Okay.
They make a stop out there, and they got San
Francisco.
Second
game of the season.
Yeah.
We're having a whole watch party on it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's out in Vegas to start. UNLV's not going to play Memphis unless you start in Vegas.
So is there going to be a return game? Do we know?
I would assume.
I thought there was.
Okay, gotcha. That'd be a fun one to go to.
Yeah, it would.
I'll be out of town, but that'd be a fun one to go to. So I think it's November 9th, second game of the season. So, you know, yeah, that's a fun little game.
We hadn't talked about their exhibition, right? They have an exhibition against them and the women have an exhibition, don't they? Women's got South Carolina and the men.
The women have South Carolina. That's been announced, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So the other stuff hasn't been?
I don't know if it's finalized yet. I don't think that's been out there.
I thought one of the beat writers had spent.
You're trying to scoopty-doopty.
No, I wasn't. I really thought that
I think the women dig it because the women was supposed to be a game.
I thought women's supposed to be a regular season game.
And
it's changed to an exhibition, and I thought it's happening all together.
I think it is, but the men's side of that has not been, at least that.
Because had that out or something.
Yeah. I think he had the South Carolina piece of it, the women. But I don't think the men's side, I don't think the ink is dry quite yet on that deal. So it'll be exciting, though. It'll be exciting for sure.
It sucks that we had to change the South Carolina game to a...
Yeah, she must have just been too mesmerized by Tom to have the game. I mean, why are we having to turn
this into an exhibition?
No,
you know what that is. They have so many opportunities in their regular season now with where they are as a program, probably to get paid as well.
Yeah.
That you get out of your, you know, previously scheduled games with programs like Memphis.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. So it is what it is.
You can't do that by giving them an exhibition game.
Yeah, it'll be incredibly well attended for that one, right? So the UNLV Memphis game, what are we sort of branding that one as? Two programs that used to be relevant but aren't anymore?
The has-beens.
Bro, 80% of your experts had Memphis in the tournament. It's still plenty relevant. Don't put us down there because you want to get a laugh off.
Hey, UNLV's won a national title,
still
though.
Still fine.
Now, this would be like a great
series. Now, if it doesn't this year, if we don't get the tournament this year, you can come back with all that.
Y'all, only one of those two has won a championship.
That's right.
Don't you slight my program.
How about this? This game would have possibly been the championship game in 1992. That's what we'd brand it as.
Well, Memphis wouldn't have been there.
Oh, they would have been there. They had Penny, right? Penny was on the team. They would have had a chance, no doubt about it. 92? Give me those 92 Tigers. Give me those 92 Tigers all day. 92 Tigers be favored by 15 over this team. And that might be short. That might be short, man.
91-92, UNLV was 18-0, first in the Big West and 26-2 overall. They were seventh in the AP final.
91-92 Memphis Tigers. They were 23-11, 5-5 in the Great Midwest. I don't know what ended up happening with them in the NCAA tournament. I know my Tiger historians will correct me on that. Did they make the tournament that year? 91-92.
Was that Penny's last year?
Yeah, they did.
I'm sorry, I was out.
They
yes,
did.
They lost to Western Kentucky.
They lost to
Penny's last game.
Looks like Cincinnati.
Mm. Oh, they lost Cincinnati four times a year.
88-57.
That's in the tournament.
Yeah, but it looks like the Elite Eight.
Yeah, they lost to Elite Eight. They lost to Cincy four times that year, including in the conference tournament, twice in the regular season.
That's a nice run for them.
Great run.
That was Nick Van Exel, who, oh, by the way, was invited to Penny's, it looked like Penny's pool, I mean, pool, golf outing.
Gotcha.
Nick Van Exel, who used to be the weakness for Memphis. Penny couldn't beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're obviously still their friends, even though they were once fearsome rivals.
Yeah. Penny struggled in that one.
Bro, Penny could not. Penny, Billy, all of them. We could not beat Cincinnati, dude.
Herb Jones.
It lost them fools in the Elite Eight. Imagine you get to the third game in the conference tournament. You say, third time's a charm. They beat you again. Then you got to see them in the tournament, Elite Eight.
Yeah, you're supposed to win that.
That's your way to the Final Four,
You know who they...
Penny Hardaway in the Final Four. All you got to do is beat them once out of four times. Didn't do it.
You remember who they won against in the second round, Jason, that year?
I don't.
Arkansas. They beat them 82-80.
Oh, I should have known.
Bradley Center in Milwaukee, and then they beat Georgia Tech to take
on
Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think that was a tip-in. David Vaughn, I think, beat Arkansas.
Yeah.
Tip-in.
Yeah, so
nice run there.
91-92, like this game would have maybe been for a Final Four in 92, UNLV in Memphis. Today, probably NIT, you know.
Man, it is dire straits for both of those programs.
I think UNLV's fall a little further than Memphis's.
It's been looking better.
I would say UNLV's, but, you know, they really haven't had many moments since Tarkanian, right? I mean,
Dave Rice got him there in 13, I think, and that was the last time. And they fired him, and they probably shouldn't have done that. Although we produced an Iowa State coach that was good, but he wasn't good for us.
Right.
You know, you know what? They're a lot like, there are two coaches right there that could be on their last leg if they don't make the friggin' tournament, both of them.
Yeah, so let's see. The last tournament for, 2013, last Elite Eight, 1991.
Brutal.
Phew.
Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah. So
that is piss poor.
UNLV much more of a has-been than Memphis. Memphis has had some runs since then.
You better win this year then.
We got there. We got the Elite Eight, 2008 was our last Elite Eight. Had a Sweet 16 in 09, though.
Uh-huh.
So it's only been 15.
Let me ask you this. Would you sacrifice all of it to win a championship in one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. A championship is, there's only so many.
After the whole time.
And there's actually not that many college basketball teams that have won championships.
So that is actually true.
You know, like, there's a lot of, it's like UConn and Duke and Michigan State, and you have a couple randoms in there, Villanova, but.
It's hard as hell.
For the most part, you're looking at the same champs in college basketball. There's not a ton of parity when you get to that level.
That one and done thing, man.
Yeah. So I would go, if Memphis won a championship in 08, well, I don't care what happens the rest of the way.
You can tell how much I love that program. I mean, I remember in 91, 90 when they won the championship. I mean, it was because I was watching those games on ESPN. It was magic.
Yeah.
But and I know Memphis was huge. I remember watching the Metro games with Memphis.
But that's the trade you made. You won a title for irrelevance the rest of the way.
That's actually fair.
And so, you know, that's you're living it, man. But you got the title.
You are exactly right.
We'll come back, wrap this up on a Tuesday. Jason and John, Artie Turner FM, ESPN.
Leaders Credit Union is a not-for-profit financial institution fully owned by members, operates for your benefits, not just full-service banking, no better rates on loans, mortgages, and accounts that they offer. Their technology is better. Check out their new financial wellness tool inside their online banking and mobile app. They've also got more fee-free ATMs than Bank of America. If you've been listening to 92.9, you've likely heard us mention Leaders Credit Union by now. Visit their website at leaderscu.com/ESPN. You can access a coupon code for a free membership at Leaders. And I'll tell you what, as we start the school year, this is something I'm going to do for my son, Christopher, who's 10 now. With your family and in the school year, maybe you want to save for your child. Leaders Credit Union offers a future leader savings account. This is really cool, where your children can grow their money. You start an account with $500. They can start receiving up to 5% APY. And here's the deal. Perfect attendance, straight A's, they get rewarded for. And so they watch their money grow. It's a great program Leaders puts on, and something I'm going to have Christopher open up on. I think we're going to do that this week. Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA and is your financial champion.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.